always with us in the morning, and that's on a Friday. You hear that very famous song being played about money, 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 and then you know it's time for Sylvia Walker. It's nearly 2020, and most of us, you know, have New Year's resolutions, and we have all kinds of New Year's resolutions about losing weight, about you know, never doing this and never doing that again, and cutting down on chocolates and stuff like that. We never have New Year's resolutions around our money, which is absolutely important. And for the past 2 years, we've been quite tough in South Africa. You just heard that the economic forecast for next year is a growth of only 1%. So if you're feeling despondent when it comes to saving and investing your cash, don't be, because what you need to do is, you know, put yourself in the right frame of mind to change your attitude towards money. And that might be the right thing to do in order to gain a positive outcome. Sylvia Walker, author, speaker, and financial planner. A very good morning to you, and welcome to Cape Talk again.
Hello, Zane. Thanks. It's lovely to be here.
Abs is going to be very jealous because she came into studio for me and you don't do it for him. And it is at 5 o'clock in the morning, so we'll forgive you for that one. A new year is going to be bringing new beginnings upon us. So how do we change the patterns and behaviors that we don't want to continue next year that we had this year?
You know, Zane, I think, you know, there's that old expression that says you can't achieve different outcomes if you keep doing the same thing over and over. So for me, it's really a case of making the decision to make a change in one's life. And when you make that decision, you then need to start taking action and sticking to it. So, you know, one can talk at great lengths about this, but it's really a case of saying, I'm making a decision. I want to do something different. And it's interesting. Most people, when going into the new year, if they do have resolutions around money, it's either around reducing their debt or they're going to start saving more. Those are the two sort of popular things that people, I think the debt one is probably a huge one for many people. But, you know, it's not going to happen just by wishing it to happen or by saying I'm going to do it. And we know that, I don't know what the figure is, 90, 95% of New Year's resolutions fall flat like a few days later. So if you want to make it stick, you've actually got to start put some work into it and take action.
Yeah. So our attitude towards money should change our outlook in terms of what we want to achieve eventually, isn't it?
Absolutely. So, you know, if you think about attitude and approach towards money, money personalities, there's so many different ones, and everybody has a different way that they look at money. There are a lot of tests out there, you know, that you can do and identifying your approach towards money. But a lot of those things are inherent. They're inbred. You don't even know that you behave in a certain way. And it's very difficult often to change that behavior. But most of us can start with very simple things like making a decision to pay yourself first. It doesn't really matter what your belief in money is. If you want to accumulate money, you can do a simple thing like that. So there are behaviors that most of us can adopt, and it's just a case of sticking to them.
Mm. A lot of people think that when you talk saving and when you actually talk about saving money or putting money away, you have to talk about 500 Rand or you have to talk about 2,000 Rand. But it doesn't necessarily have to be the thousands that you need to put away every month.
Yeah, no, not at all, Zane. So I think there's also this fallacy that financial planning is only for the wealthy people. But actually, everybody earns money and everybody needs to plan correctly with that money. So when it comes to saving money or investing longer term, you can start with 50 Rand a month. 50 Rand is better than nothing. That's what I always say to people. So it's, you know, don't be put off that you have to have a certain amount of money or a certain income only before you start. And I always look at the many of the poorer communities in South Africa. If you look at the whole Stokvel system, those people are incredibly poor, many of them. But it's a priority and they manage to put money away. So it's got nothing to do with your income. It's really got to do with what you want to achieve and your priority at the end of the day.
Mm. And this is the thing, because a lot of people look at a number of people going overseas and they say, wow, that guy goes overseas every 2 years. But it's not because he has a lot of money. It's a priority for him and he actually saves. So
absolutely.
How does one then start this process of budgeting and keeping track of your spending?
So, you know, as I say, most people would think about that the two things they'd want to do is either save more money or invest more money or reduce their debt. So when it comes to budgeting is the key tool that you need to use to achieve that. And budgeting, I always say, is like taking a selfie. You know, we always take selfies. It's a selfie-mad society. So how about taking a selfie of your money? That's what a budget is. You sit down and you actually look at what you're spending your money on. And you often need to take a step back. So you need to take out your bank statement, have a look and see see how much are you spending. You know, it's easy to, we know the basic stuff or the stuff that's the same every month, the rent or the bond or the car repayments, that we know. But it's normally the those things where we just spend and spend that catch us. So the budget is critical. But start with looking at what are you spending your money on at the moment. Take out your bank statement. It's not a very exciting exercise to do, but it's a very enlightening exercise because you will see how much are you spending on petrol? How much are you spending on groceries? How much are you spending on just drawing cash and it disappears out of your wallet? And then you can sit down and plot a budget that you would want to follow. Mm. And that's really the tool that you use, is to do that on paper, on Excel. And then it's really making it real, making it tangible for you.
Because very often you draw your bank statement and there are two columns. It's where the money comes in. That's yes. like one, two.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
then the rest of it's like gone.
There's
gone,
one or two
gone.
Little green items and the rest yes. are all red. If you look at it in color on the screen.
Yeah. What are sort of the main kind of money behaviors that people need to start changing if you really honestly want to make that change? And as I said, you know, people complain about living broke forever, but they don't look at the reasons why they are living
yes,
broke.
Yes. So one of the biggest reasons, obviously, Zane, is debt, because it's money in, money out. So when you do that budget, if your money out includes a lot of things like accounts, like credit cards, there's obviously some debts we have to pay. If you have a home loan, for instance, you're paying off a car, but it shouldn't be too expensive a car. But those debts are the things that are absolute money wasters, because it's money you're just throwing down the drain. And that behavior is relatively easy to change. You need to just start getting rid of that debt. And it's easy to do. You make a decision. It's all about decisions and making it a priority. So you make a decision and pick one of your accounts and you say, I'm not going to spend on this account anymore. I'm just going to pay it off. And then you move to the next one and the next one. And if, by the time you look again, maybe in a year's time, you've reduced your debt by half.
And these days we've got online banking where you actually don't need to physically walk into a bank and you can open an account. So you can open up a sideline account somewhere. And what is the best? Is it just to sign off a debit order and say 100 Rand from this account into that account every month? Or do you have to physically? Because some people feel that they need to be forced to actually sign a
yes,
debit order
yes.
or forced into yes. investing a certain amount of money. And then after a while, after 2-3 debit orders, you actually learn to live without
yeah,
that money.
Yeah. So Zane, that is paying yourself first. So, you know, there's this old story that wealthy people, rich people first save and then they spend. And poor people first spend and then they save.
Mm.
So you want to switch that around. You want to have the behavior that wealthy people have. And that is by placing yourself at the top of the list. So I always say jokingly, when I do my budget, Sylvia is the number one item that I pay. I'm at the top of my own list. And it's a debit order that comes off and it's a saving money that goes towards saving. Because if I wait until I've paid everybody else, there's nothing left for me. Because invariably what's there will be spent. So that's critical. Put yourself, as you say, a debit order that goes off from your where your salary goes in or your income goes in straight into an account where you are saving.
Mm. And should this saving situation be separate from what you are investing, or can they more or less sort of overlap or be the same?
So we use the terms interchangeably. Saving is generally a shorter term exercise, whereas investing is longer term. Longer term, 5 years or more. So saving, if you're looking at maybe an emergency fund, or you're saving for that overseas holiday or that deposit on a car, that would be a savings plan, and that would be probably in a good bank account. There's some excellent interest rates being offered by some of the banks at the moment. If you're looking longer term, 5, 10, 15, 20, maybe to build up a nest egg, to plan for your child's education, it's better than to invest through an equity-based investment, equity-linked investment. That'll give you a much better return than a bank account.
I had a conversation with somebody during the course of the week, and we're chatting to Sylvia Walker, author, speaker, and financial planner. I had a chat to somebody during the course of the week about, this particular person took out an endowment policy, which was 230 Rand, and she's only about 30 years old. And I said, but do people still take out endowment policies? Because it's like you can get so much money the day that you die. But I mean, it's...
No, look, endowment is a savings plan. Mm. It's not a life cover policy.
Yeah.
But it's an old school type of investment policy, in that it is old school and often can be quite costly. So there are a lot of other options, unit-based options, unit trust-based options for saving that are a lot better and a lot more cost-effective.
Mm.
So I'm surprised too. People do still take out those, but yeah, I think they're quite scarce.
Very old school. And
yes.
The other thing is that I spoke to a person also about having sort of credit insurance on your bond. And this person paid credit insurance for 1,700 Rand a month over a period of 10 years. And finally, when I spoke to her, I said to her, if you had taken the 1,700 Rand and put that into your bond account, you would have actually probably paid off your bond by now.
Some of the banks will insist on that. They won't give you a home loan unless there's credit life assurance. Some of them even go a step further and they insist on you having retrenchment cover, disability cover. So it all depends on the bank's lending criteria. Some other banks, as long as you've got sufficient life cover elsewhere, they're happy with that. So it all depends. If the bank is saying they'll only give you the loan if you take out credit life assurance, you have to do it. But what people don't know is you don't have to take it out through that bank, that bank's brokerage. So by law, you're allowed to take it out anywhere as long as it provides the benefits that the bank stipulates.
And these days, we have a situation whereby a number of people actually work more on a freelance basis because they will tell you straight, they earn a lot more money. Their time is their own and they earn a lot more money than they would actually earn in a sort of a 9-to-5 job. So how do you save and invest? How do you budget on a freelance where you don't have a set salary coming on the 25th?
So I think, Zane, you know, in that instance, and I'm one of those people, so I have a couple of sources of income and it comes in at all different times. It again comes down to the budget. So you know what you're spending and let's put it that way. And what's coming in will come in sporadically maybe or different times. And sometimes they're better months than others. And if that's the case, you just still spend what your budget says you spend. And again, you can put yourself at the top of the list. You can pay yourself first. You can add yourself in as one of your own creditors. But you need to be disciplined. So if you have a really good month, it's not a case of now I can just blow it and eat out sort of four times a week. You stick to your budget.
Gosh, I can't even eat out one time a week. There's a WhatsApp message coming in, Sylvia, and we're having a chat to Sylvia Walker, who's the author, speaker, and financial planner. Please ask your guest about the current performance of retirement annuities and pension funds. It seems that like the return is a far better currently using a good bank. So there's once again, I always draw this analogy that if your money is growing at less than what the inflation rate is, then you're earning less money and not getting out. So if the inflation rate is 6.5% and the company is just offering you 4.4% on your retirement annuity, you're actually booting achter eight, as they say.
Yeah. So it's interesting because obviously the retirement annuity is tax deductible, your contribution up to certain limits. So that's a great benefit. Mm. And instead of just, you know, using that you get that money back or that reduction in tax, it would be clever to plow that back into some kind of savings. In terms of the returns being lower, they are sometimes in a shorter, if you look at a shorter period of time. But again, these things are often long-term investments. So it all depends. As I say, the big difference is the tax deductibility. If that's not an issue to you, to have your contribution tax deductible, then perhaps it is better for you to go and put your money elsewhere. The only thing, too, is to remember with retirement annuities, they're protected against insolvency. So if you have your own business, no one can touch that money. It also protects you against yourself, which is a critical thing. And I say that with the greatest respect for people, but if something happens, you can't actually access that money before 55. So it forces you to leave the money there. Whereas let's say you had your money in a bank account, it's easy to dip into it if there's a bit of a crisis. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword. There are positives and negatives for both, for bank accounts and for retirement annuity.
I think if you've got a sum of money to invest and you're looking at short-term, probably 5 years, then a bank account would be a better option for you. And if you're looking at longer-term, 15, 20 years, then definitely your retirement annuities would sort of protect you. And especially in terms of retirement in this country where we have only 6% of people who can actually really retire, sort of comfortably retire on what they got in their retirement funds.
Absolutely, Zane. But you know, it's all about building up assets for retirement. So our default is to say, I must have enough money in a retirement annuity, or I must have enough cash in a vehicle. Maybe you've got a property portfolio you've built up. There are other ways to get there. It's about having enough assets at retirement. That's really the critical issue.
And that's Sylvia Walker. Your tips for the new year?
I think, Zane, you know, make saving a priority. So reduce spending as much as possible. And it's not going to happen just by wishing it to happen. Make it a priority. And even if you start small. And I'm a great believer in positive reinforcement. You know, if you say to yourself, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and it falls flat after a week, you actually don't feel very good about yourself. But if you say, I'm going to start putting away, even if it's 100 rand a month, and you start doing that, you will be giving yourself that positive reinforcement, and it'll be a snowball effect in your life.
I was at the Greenpoint market yesterday, and I wanted to buy something, and my daughter says, Daddy, how much do you want? How much do you want? And believe you me, the last time I took 100 rand from her, she made me sign an IOU, and she's only 8 years old. Thank you for coming in this morning, and thank you for being with us at Sylvia Walker and chatting about your money.